tag Think as Green. And what we're trying to do is we want, like, Ramadan's around the corner. We want Muslims to actually start thinking about, you know, the waste that goes into garbage, all the disposable water bottles, all the meat that we eat, the 12 dishes, the water for wudu. You know, it's like the Prophet used to have, I think I got like a half a liter.
Yes.
Right? And we have, I've actually taken a survey where Muslims are doing 5 to 10 gallons per wudu.
Yes.
You know, so these are the things that we're trying to make aware.
Two things. Number one, about the environmental issue, right? Most Muslims, when they talk about it, or you bring up environmentalism to Muslims, the typical idea or the perception is, this is a very new age, kind of a Western idea. Oh yeah, and as Muslims, we should be down with that. Here's the deal. Environment, thinking about the environment or being respectful of the environment is an Islamic issue. Right? And what's interesting is, look in the Quran. Islam, in the Quran, whenever it talks about the environment, it tells you to value the environment and be grateful for all these blessings and respect these blessings. It actually is always in the context of faith. So if you think about it, for us, the environment is an iman issue. Because why? What does Allah call the sun and the moon, the stars and the earth and the sky and the trees? What does Allah call them? Ayat. The same thing that the verse of the Quran is called, ayat. And ayat remind us of who?
Allah.
So why shouldn't I respect that which reminds me of Allah? And so there, it's literally the reflection of, it's a source of us, for us to reflect on who Allah is and what Allah has given us. When Allah introduced himself to humanity in the Quran, the earliest of revelation, it doesn't go into this long thing about uluhiyya and ubudiyya and all these complicated conversations. هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور. Walker, this is, he's the earth that, he's the one that laid the earth down beneath your feet. Walk around the earth, go up and walk around the mountains and marvel at Allah's creation. Eat from it, and then at the end of all of that, وإليه النشور.
Reminder.
So for us, the environment is very precious. If we destroy this environment, we're destroying our means of recognizing Allah.
But how do you think, like, how about getting that information to the Muslims who are on ground? You know, how do we implement?
It starts always with awareness.
Gotcha.
We got to talk about it.
Right.
You know, we've seen, like, okay, we've seen, I'll talk about one of the projects I'm involved with, meaningful prayer, prayer, salah. Well, the way to raise awareness about prayer is I have to first start talking about it, spread the word, and now people realize I need to improve my prayer.
Right.
I want to make my prayer better. So it always starts with raising awareness. And I think that's, you guys are doing a great job of that. You're setting out on that, down that path. The second thing I want to say about environment, you brought up something remarkable. That was wastage and usage, right? How much we waste, especially when there's an occasion like Ramadan. So think about this fact. We just had a Quran intensive, a month-long Arabic tafsir intensive. We needed a lot of water. We had 100 students for a month studying with us. So instead of getting bottles and bottles and bottles and bottles of water, we spoke to the sparklets. Even though I know there's a whole issue of tap water. Tap water is just as good as some bottled water a lot of times. Texas, we do have a little bit of an issue, so we do have to be careful. They found a lot of weird stuff in the water. Different talk for another day. So anyways, but we ended up contacting like a company. They brought their water coolers. We set up dispensers and we bought students plastic water bottles. So you fill it up,
one.
You drink it, you fill it up, you drink it.
Excellent.
We gotta start somewhere, some way, somehow. If a masjid, what they don't realize is, when we talk about installing like the censored like faucets for wudu, or like the smart flush or whatever it's called, we talk about saying that's like, oh, huge budget. What we don't realize is the amount of money we spend the water bill over time. You know, making the light switch, the whole electronic sensor thing. I pushed for that in my masjid, and guess what? We saw that reflected 6 months down the road.
Excellent.
When they were building a masjid that I was involved with, there was a more expensive type of construction they could do, but it would lessen the amount of money they would have to spend on the electricity bill. Literally in the summer, in Texas, the building would be nice and cool on the inside. But they had to spend more money on the front end. But you won't believe, this is like a huge, like an 8,000 square foot facility, and their electricity bill is literally what some people pay at home for a 2,000 square foot home.
I think we need to develop these types of initiatives and talk about these initiatives.
Right.
just to get other people excited, you Absolutely. Know, and inspire them to, look, this is what's going on in Texas. What message is this? We want to get them on the record.
The Islamic Association Mid-Cities in Colleyville, Texas.
Okay. We want to take that as an example, inshallah. So, I mean, this is the type of work that we need, and inshallah, the leadership and, you know, the Islamic scholars need to more talk about it in the khutbah, and, you know, I hear it from you, so that's really a blessing from talking to you, inshallah.
Good meeting you, inshallah. See you soon, Imam Sahib, inshallah.
So we are tagging you by asking you to be green, and then you take the message to other people, and as you're already are doing that, you know, just I do a lot of like stream protection and wetlands and stuff, and once I was just going to, I have this habit of jumping from one bank to another between the streams. It's just a cool thing where you jump from one side to another, and once I found like all these cool fish is coming down, right? And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, whoa. Before I even jump across the stream, I'm looking at it, and then I see like these couple of paint buckets with paint leaching into the water. And while you have the fishes there, and it's, poisonous, the paint is poisonous for the fish that are in that environment. It just basically kills it. And, I looked at it, and I was like, this is their home. And we have discarded this stuff from our home, right? Because we didn't want that garbage, but we put that garbage in their place, And we got to do better, We have to be more aware, and I looked at the fish, and it was like basically speaking to me, like, why would you do that? If you don't keep that in your house, why would you throw it in my place?
I can tell you this: we were in Spain. We went to the Great Mosque of Cordoba. And I'm sure everyone's seen it, the arches, red and white arches over the pillars. And it was a structure that fit about 40,000 people. And the impression that everyone was left with when they exited the mosque was how light it was. And I don't mean by bright, I mean by its weight. That you had a massive structure that was held up by very, very slender columns. So it gave the impression of a space that was overwhelming and it almost at the same time unnoticeable. The size of it actually escapes you, and it got us thinking while we were there about the values that inform what people build, and the fact that their architecture communicated a way of looking at the world and living in the world, and more than that, it did something that I don't think people really believe in anymore, which is that the space you are in influences the kind of person you can become. So what you surround yourself with and what your world looks like itself has an effect on who you are inside, and when you are in a setting that is green, that is open, that is beautiful, that reflects symmetries, for example, patterns and order, that then becomes who you are inside. And when you're in a setting that's chaotic, it has the effect of making your own internal dialogue chaotic. And something that occurs to me with respect to Muslims in the environment is we're now in a position as a community where we're starting to build the infrastructure that's going to carry us forward for the next 10, 20, 30 years, beyond just mosques, but also including mosques, community centers, so on and so forth. And rather than focus on reproducing the form in which some mosques may have taken 500 years ago, we should think a little bit more about the values behind them and whether the space we're using is actually worth what we're putting into it, whether it has a positive impact on us and then the world around us. So one thing that always strikes me when I go to mosques is the big question in building a mosque is, how do we fit everyone for Friday prayers? But another way to frame that is, how do we build it big enough that it's going to be full for 2 hours out of the whole week? And the rest of the week, it's essentially going to be mostly empty. So we often build without thinking about what we're building for, and we don't think about whether or not it's going to have a positive effect on the world around us or even on us ourselves. So I think that we've narrowed Islam into little boxes and categories and not seen the bigger picture. And I don't mean Islam ideologically, I mean philosophically, spiritually, culturally, in the sense that once you internalize a certain perspective on who you are and who your creator is, it should then resonate into every other thing you do in your life. And that means making difficult decisions, and I don't think we frame it that way. So beyond just the very positive and correct thing of saying these are things you can do to be more green, we should also think of ways of making wasteful choices harder to make. So, exactly. So, rather than say exclusively, do these five things and you'll be greener, we should say do these five things, but also let the values behind them inform the way in which you build things and do things so that for coming generations, it's something they don't necessarily have to think about, it's just something they do. So make space useful, less wasteful in terms of energy. Make the wudu fountain less wasteful of water. You know, there's got to be ways that you can do this in such a way that you make the hard choice now in order to make things easier on yourself later. And then, again, to recreate this kind of idea and this kind of identity and do it in a way that is positive for everyone around you.
We talk about a lot about this, you know, that maybe perhaps the modern Muslims are this becoming this new age type of Muslims who are, you know, they're into this stuff because of the Western propaganda and things like that. And even like what, you know, my studies and my relationship with some of the Muslims from the Eastern cultures, they actually have that, you know, that no, this is just a campaign. This is just a Western way of, you know, plotting against us by saying environmentalism is sort of like from the Islam, but it's not. It's a Westernism kind of thing. How would you relate that to being green as Muslims, as not Islamic from the Islamic perspective, but rather from the Western perspective, and denying that both could go together?
We don't have categories in our tradition of geographic origin. Something is forbidden or permitted or encouraged. Something is not Eastern or Western. Those categories are absurd. And generally what they actually speak to is people who are insecure, who don't believe in their religion, but are just afraid of their religion and where it's going, because they themselves don't feel rooted in it. That's the first response. That's the most important response. Just because something is from a place, it doesn't mean it's alien to a religious tradition. Religion is not geography. Up until the 1600s, 1700s, Western culture was holistic. There was a belief that a human being was part of their wider environment. And it was only in the last few hundred years that humans became seen as individual, autonomous, and very lonely units who were at war with nature. And this point of view has obviously produced certain benefits. We're sitting here, we're being recorded on camera, right? I mean, there are obvious technological benefits, but there are obvious harms as well. And this idea that environmentalism is somehow alien to the Islamic tradition, the greatest proof of the falseness of that is to simply walk around Muslim architecture. The use of water, the use of green space, the belief that green space itself makes you a better person, that being around nature is conducive to spirituality, has been in the Muslim tradition from the very beginning. So to then say that that's somehow alien to the tradition speaks of someone who actually doesn't know their tradition, and assumes that the way in which religion has been defined in certain parts of Western history must be how Islam is defined. And we see this a lot, where Muslims absorb what a religion is and isn't, or what it should be and shouldn't, from other conversations without thinking critically about them. And so we need to change the paradigm in that sense.
You know, asking Muslims and just saying, yes, this is the way we should be thinking about, implementing it in our lives, and also this is a value that we should transfer to the next generation via, as you have mentioned, the architects, the building of the mosque, the building of institutions and stuff. What would be at least one thing that I would say motivates you, inspires you?
I think thinking environmentally and behaving in that way has benefits spiritually, personally, and I think even socially and nationally. And by spiritually, I mean, as you get older, and as I age, you realize how much peace and contentment you can find in certain settings and certain surroundings, and how much of an impact that has on you, and how important it is to maintain that kind of connection and that kind of improvement in your life, to have that access. In terms of where we stand as a country, I think it's very obvious that we're kind of headed off a cliff. Sometimes I feel like we're all characters in a biblical drama, and there's a few people in the corner saying things are going to turn really bad really fast, and everyone's like, no, it's fine. And I think anyone who's watching the news, watches the weather, I mean, clearly something is happening. And at the very least, it should be a little bit unnerving. And I think that as a Muslim, you think in the sense of walking softly on the earth. And so to take it back to the mosque in Cordoba, here's this massive structure, and it's obviously using technology and science and so on and so forth, but it has a very light presence. It doesn't impose itself on the environment. It tries to become part of the environment in a way that, you know, for example, they leave the doors open and they plant orange trees so that the way the wind blows, it blows the fragrance into the mosque and perfumes the mosque. Which, by the way, would be nice for a lot of mosques these days to have some fragrance, you know. That's another thing. Define environment broadly, right, and generously. But how can you see what's happening and think that it's not going to have an effect? And if you're a Muslim, how can you think that you can have an attitude to the world where you can just use it without being, at the very least, thankful for it, and exploit it without being humbled by the fact that it's been made available for you? And anyone who acts in arrogance, they're arrogating to themselves God's right. And so whether it's how you deal with another person or how you deal with the world around you, certainly there should be some level of humility. And the absence of that discourse, I think, would be, to anyone who's paying attention, a little bit alarming. And when you look at weather patterns and the way they're changing, it is very distressing, because you realize that for all the things we have, everything we have is deeply dependent on this very fine-tuned balance. A drought, a hurricane, a tornado, so on and so forth, can disrupt in such a way that all our technology and all our wealth can't really handle it. And speaking even just for that perspective, there should be some initiative towards taking better care of the world around us.
Thank you so much, and for wise words, we'll be in touch. This is Faraz Khan from Think As Green, tag, you're it. And we're here today with Baba Ali, so.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Baba Ali, and I'm here with him.
So we're here basically, inshallah. I wanted to just hear your perspective on some of the things that you have seen within the community and even personal stuff that you're doing to be a green Muslim, environmentally conscious person.
See, a lot of things, I go around all around the world, and especially around the United States, and I see a lot of masajids, and unfortunately we don't have enough masajids that are green. We have a very, very few people that have this perspective that you do of making things more environmental friendly. But as Muslims, we really, really need to work on this. In California, where I live, it's almost becoming like a green state because people are much more conscious of...
I thought California was pink state.
Well, it depends on what part of California you're at. But with the part of Southern California that I am, it is more green. Uh-huh. And they have you see solar panels on people's homes, and you see people trying to find ways to make things more efficient and more productive. So it would be awesome one day if we get to a masajid that has solar panels on the very top, has water that's recycling, especially all this water that we spill on wudu on each other. Yeah. We waste so much. If we're able to save a little bit, it could be a big, big difference.
That's good to hear that. How do you think that what you're doing relates to just in general with Muslim perspective and young Muslims and what you're trying to do now with this Muslim personality? Just touch a little bit on that too as well, that we want viewers to also come to know about that.
Yeah, I try to help Muslims any way I can. The latest projects we have are called Muslim Personality and Half Our Deen, where we help Muslims get married.
Whoa.
And it's really, really big. We really need to get married, man. There's a lot of people walking around single and a lot of people who are divorced, and that gives us a lot of people that really need to get married, man. You can see so many people that are walking around like, hey, he's looking at her, she's looking at him, and like, hey, you guys stop looking at each other. Let's get this thing fixed. So. We're trying to do projects, inshallah, and we've helped nearly 120 people find their other half.
Wow.
In less than a year.
Wow.
And we only started a year ago. So that's a really, really big accomplishment, alhamdulillah.
Excellent. So give us a little bit about how does it work. So, if somebody wants to email me and say, hey, Brother Faraz, help us out, Baba Ali's here.
Most of the websites out there, they run on a dating structure, where they ask you for your height, your weight, and your eye color, like you're going to get married on that stuff. And plus, her weight's going to change and his height's not, but whatever. You know what I'm talking about. We ask more deeper questions than that. We ask you questions that how do you, when you get mad, how do you communicate? We ask you questions of how do you view Islam? Are you more liberal, more conservative? The point is to get you guys to match up, and compatibility is key. So that's the main thing for us. We help people to get compatible, find the right spouse so we don't see him in divorce court 2 years later.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
Asking why, brother, during the question answer session, brother, how do I get divorced? No, how do you do the nikah, inshallah.
Excellent. I guess we're doing the same thing on a similar level, but a little, the scales are different, environmental and social aspects of it.
Yeah.
Tell us more about your personal life and how do you see the green pledge, green yourself, as plastic bottles, styrofoams. I'm coming back to our community. We see a lot of this around the Ramadan time. We're actually starting an initiative where you could take 5 steps to make your Ramadan more green, to environmentally friendly, less disposable waste and things like that. How do you see these initiatives and how do you actually in your own life work at it where you try to make it more green, basically?
In our society, as I was saying earlier, we don't have too much health-conscious Muslims, unfortunately. And also, when it comes to green Muslims, there's not too many. This is why it's really good for us to make that push to make that difference, especially during Ramadan. As you said, the styrofoam cups are everywhere. You don't see too many paper cups. And they don't see that this is the world we're going to be living in, and it's going to be at the end, we're going to end up our future for our kids that are going to send up with these styrofoam cups in landmines. My own children, they take the recycling bottles, and they're better recycling than I am. And they take recycling bottles at home, and they have a little wagon, and they put it all in. Nice. I say, Baba, we need to recycle. And they watch things on television that inspires them to recycle. So it really starts off with the youth and then moves on to the, hopefully they inspire the parents. And as a community, we have to work together. Otherwise, it won't just happen by itself. And I am have to fix myself as well to be even more environmentally friendly.
I think we all need to do that work. But I think part of the challenge is to do the awareness part, and then the action part would follow, I think. And I think we haven't really done that. But one last word that you want to share with our viewers and online people who want to talk about this, and anything else that you comes to your mind.
If you want to be green, talk to this man.
Thank you. This is Faraz Khan, Think as Green, and we'll be talking more, inshallah, with Baba Ali. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. Take care. This is Faraz Khan from Think as Green. We're here with Noman Ali Khan from Al Bayyana Institute, and we're talking about, inshallah, being green and being a Muslim and how it affects religious identity, being a Muslim, and just being a human being. So let's talk with Noman, inshallah.
To me, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. To me, the matter is really, simple. In Allah la yuhibbu al-musrifin. Allah doesn't love those who spend over what's appropriate. And that applies to shopping, it applies to consumption, it applies to anything. So whether it be leaving food on the table, or it be, wasting materials, all of it counts towards that one general principle. Additionally, I think the Prophet ﷺ would command the Sahaba to be conservative when making wudu. And when asked, how can that, even when there's a lot of water, he said even when there's a river flowing, So, the idea of being respectful of water as a scarce resource, the idea of not, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, you're going to be interrogated about every single blessing that was there for you. So the Muslim doesn't trivialize small things or big things because they're considered assets or things we're going to be questioned about.
Some people have this mind, is that, are the Muslims coming up with something new here? Are they reinterpreting the text?
I think there may be that danger, but I think genuinely it's very consistent with religion, and it's really not something new.
Okay.
And I say that because Allah has given us the earth also as an amana. And if the Prophet ﷺ is walking and not even forbidding companions to pluck a leaf, then one has to be cautious about their effects on the earth. It's something that we respect. And at the same time, so it's a matter of concern about your other creations of Allah. And it's also leaving the world in a better shape than you found it for those who are going to come after you. So it's not just about ourselves, right? So this idea of sadaqa jariya, for instance, is also tied to this concept. We don't think of it that way.
Yeah.
But like,
give us an example. Like, how would you tie sadaqa jariya?
We don't think of it environmentally. We think, okay, we're going to build a masjid.
Yes.
Others will benefit from it. But when you go to the park and you threw some, plastic bottles in the river, or you left trash behind or whatever, this is also the earth that will be inherited by others after you. So when you contributed to poisoning it, then this is what you've left for the world after you.
This is your legacy, sort of like where you've polluted the environment.
It's a really interesting story. Even in Hajjaj ibn Yusuf's time, I believe, I thought it was phenomenal. He sees this old man planting a tree. Right? And he says, you're not even going to live to see that tree mature. Why are you doing that? Right? He's being green, right? So, and he says, it's going to benefit someone someday. It'll give someone shade.
Right.
Like the idea of thinking about two generations ahead, three generations ahead, not just in terms of, where Islamic education is going to be, where our masajid are going to be, where we're going to be socially, economically, politically, but also environmentally. It's part of what we owe the earth.
Being Muslim, being in America, being people who are religiously educated and also, worldly educated, what would be the message that you want to convey to them through Quran and through your understanding?
The first message I'd convey is at the clergy level, at the level of the minbar and the masajid, that we should implement easily executable, like recycling and cleaning up kind of policies. Yeah, and things like our iftars and our, our celebration, things like that.
Tell us more about it. What happens on the iftar days, the 30 days of Ramadan and disposable culture?
This is
we put it all together and dumpsters are filled. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it seems such an antithesis. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So you can be grateful. And that so much has been said about those ayat where Allah talks about fasting and says you can be grateful. Why? One obvious meaning is, when you feel hunger, you can be grateful that there's rizq waiting for you at the end, and there are so many who don't have that rizq. And how do we show that gratitude? That we eat half the plate, we leave the other, we eat more than is necessary for ourselves, we overconsume, and then we like, I mean, even if you open up those trash bags, more than half the trash bag is food. And the other half is, you know, foam or plastic items that should have been recycled to begin with, you know? So it's, I think there should be a connect between what we hear in the Quran or what we hear in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and how it translates into even these simple, you know, we think trivial acts, but I think even if it's not the greatest good deed, we don't want it to turn into a bad deed, you know? The first principle in deen is do no harm before we do good. So,
that's a great principle, I think, to live our lives by. So, again, this is Noman Khan. The one last thing, inshallah, we're going to ask Sheikh Noman here is how he lives his life and what is at least one thing that he tries to implement in his life, being a green Muslim, inshallah. So, this one last thing. So, give us a jam.
I avoid plastic bottles entirely. I've committed myself to, like... metal cups and things like that, washing them and things. I take my kids, we don't go to parks, like recreational types of parks and things. Our idea of like a vacation is always a nature site. So we'll go to a waterfall, we'll go to a river, we'll go to a lake, the mountains, etc.
Sort of feel the spiritual side of it.
Like our children don't even appreciate what nature is. Why would they want to protect it? You know, like they haven't seen, appreciated the beauty of the ocean. They're more interested in going to like Disney World or like, you know, these artificial beauties, which I don't actually find even beauty in. I think real beauty is, you know, and we're living in a country that has incredible natural beauty. I mean, it's really unprecedented natural beauty. So making one appreciate what Allah has given us as a gift, well, you'll take care of it more, you know? So...
Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. Again, think as green. This is Faraz Khan. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.